Well, I'll just introduce myself. Anyway, George, it's lovely to see you, because I've always heard of you.
Have you?
Yes, as a member of the village. You know. And so it's my pleasure to talk to you. And just by way of introduction, for the record, I'll say that, what's today? It's the 14th of January 2016.
Yeah.
And I, David Hartdyke, have a pleasure in interviewing you. As a record, you know, for the village to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's my great pleasure to be here. And, George, to start with, if we can just go back in time, where were you sort of born and brought up? In Hampshire, or...?
Yes, I was born at Rookwood Cottages, which they tell me, by Tom Parker told me,
that
the cottage was in Denmy and the loo was in Hambledon.
Oh, really?
Because you had to go across the road.
really?
That's what he said, anyway. You know what he was like, don't you?
Yes, well, I've heard of him. I hardly met him.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh,
but you were born there. You were born there, were you?
Yes,
between Denmead and Hambledon.
Just after the First War.
When were you born? 1918?
13th of September 1919.
So,
a long time, isn't it?
You're 96?
Yeah.
96. Amazing, isn't it?
Well, yes. It's
and where did you go to school?
Denmead. Denmead's the only school, you know, which it's, I don't know what to do with it now. It's a sort of a...
It's quite a big school there now.
Well, it was, I suppose, it was a council school, of course.
Yes.
And then what happened then, I had one great tragedy in my life. My youngest sister, which there were seven of us altogether.
Yes.
I was the youngest.
Yes.
4 years behind the rest.
Hmm.
And she was in service in Waterlooville, I think, with the doctor. And he came to see Mother and said, he told her that something was going wrong with my sister.
Oh.
And she had to go into NO. She was only 18. It sort of, one of the greatest tragedies, I think, because she was so happy.
Was she the eldest?
She just went.
So natural causes, just died.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yes. Anyway, then we moved up to Rushmere.
Oh, yes.
The farm, we moved into the farmhouse up there until I was about 12, I think it was, yeah. And then we got kicked out. So, well, they sold up there to Lady Peel.
Oh, yes, of Lady Dean.
The trouble was, I mean, I was only 12 at the time, but I was still pretty disgusted because one afternoon these two cars came into the yard.
Yes.
And the chap got out of one of them and he said it was Lady Peel. And she'd bought the farm, or she was looking round at, she had been able to see her mansion from different places.
Oh, yes.
And they hadn't told us at all.
Really? It's first you knew?
Yes, and my father had worked for him all his life.
Oh, that's awful.
It was disgusting.
Was she the owner that lived up at Lady Dean House?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. So she owned quite a bit of land here.
I think what she did, she bought up a lot of the property around here, but done an awful lot of good.
Yes.
You know, the farms were very dilapidated.
Yes.
And she'd done them up, and the rent was quite reasonable, you know.
Yes.
She charged for them. I mean, she'd done a lot of good, yes, she did.
But what happened to you? You just had to find somewhere else short
notice? Yeah, we found a little bungalow. But actually, fortunately, my mother had been a nanny and she'd brought some people who lived at Denmy. Lunnons, their name were.
Yes.
And the little bungalow belonged to them and that was empty, so we got that. Otherwise, we were stuck.
Right.
You see, in those days...
There weren't council houses, were there then?
No. And when, well, I was there when the war came.
Yes.
And that's when I went to the Marines.
So did you go straight from, were you working on the farm, on a farm?
Yeah, Yeah, I did. I worked at Rookwood. I was cowman.
You were cowman?
I'd taken over the cows. I had milking machines and all that.
At Rookwood?
And they tried to get me exempted, but I wouldn't have it. I said, no, I wasn't going to be.
So you were about 20 when the war started, or 21. What made you join the Royal Marines?
I didn't think about it.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I went down to Portsmouth to, and had a medical and all that.
Yes.
And all the Grade 1 people were either going into... Well, you had to go up some stairs, and I went up the stairs, the second one up.
Yes.
And I went to the right.
Right.
Bootnecks.
Oh, really? Bootnecks to the right.
If I went to the left, I wanted to go in the Navy.
Oh, really?
There. Mm. And so it was the Marines.
Yes.
And I said to the chap, I want to, I want to go to sea.
Yes.
Oh, he said, you will, you'll go to sea.
Yes.
Yeah, on my feet.
Really? What was your first job with the Royal Marines after training?
We went into Eastern Barracks and we were there about 6 weeks, I think.
Yes.
When I first went in, I was drilling in civvies.
No uniforms yet?
Brown shoes.
Really?
Yeah. But my father dropped dead just before we went in. And you didn't know of Captain Dunn. He used to live up Green Lane.
Yes, I think I did know
him. He was a music master at Eastney Barracks.
Oh, was he? He was quite a well-known musician in the Royal Marines, wasn't he?
He was a nice chap.
Yeah.
And I was going out with his maid, one of the maids, and he got the idea that he'd, do something for me. But I said, well, I don't want exemption. I'm going into the Marines, and that was it. And I wanted to.
Yes.
And that's how I sort of... My father dropped dead.
Yeah.
And I'd had my calling up paper, so I had to go down to Eastney and tell them everything, and I got 4 days exemption.
Really?
To go back, to the funeral.
Yes.
So my father had to be buried in those 4 days.
Because he wasn't very old then when he died.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't very old when he died.
80.
Oh, he was 80, was he?
Mm.
What about your elder brothers or sisters? What about your elder brothers and sisters? Did they join the forces?
I hardly knew my older sisters, because they went away, a lot older than me, and they went away to service.
Yes.
And so I was left with three brothers, and my oldest brother, he worked on the farm. I was still at school, of course.
Yes.
And then... Well,
But your brothers didn't join the services?
No. Yes, one of them did. The one next to me, Arthur, he went away. He was up in London somewhere, south of London. And he got called up. And the funny part about it was he was a butcher, really.
Yes.
But he went on to the buses, I think, when he went away.
Yes.
And he got called up, and he was on, I don't know if he was on searchlights or guns, I can't remember.
Oh, really? In this country?
Mm. And then when that sort of died down, there was no planes and that, he got put into the Black Watch.
Oh, did he? Famous regiment, the Black Watch.
No.
Kilt and all.
Because he came on leave and... In fact, it was one Christmas, the only time where we got together.
Oh, God.
And he was moaning about being the Black Watch. I said, you should be free for yourself.
Yes.
I said, it's a famous regiment.
It is, and they had a wonderful record, didn't they, in the war?
Yeah, yeah.
Terrified the Germans.
He went right through on the across the Rhine and met up with the Russians.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Across the Rhine, met up with the Russians?
Yeah.
And so he survived the war.
That's right, the war ended. He said the Russians would never believe. He said, although they had English lorries there, they just would not have it from England.
Oh, really?
He said they were the most picked, stubborn.
Really, yeah.
Looking at as things were in that book, a good job they were, I think.
Yeah, well, we gave them a lot of support, didn't we, from military vehicles.
Yeah, Anyway, that's some of it.
So when you joined after Eastney, where did you say you started off?
Went to Bisley.
Oh, Bisley.
Under Canvas.
Right.
And then we went up to... well, I didn't know what was happening, really. I mean, you didn't in the Marine, didn't tell you anything.
You were still under training, were you?
We didn't have any training, really.
Or you were ready to go wherever you had to go.
When we got kicked out of France, I was under canvas, sitting in a tent, with a rifle and everything, pack on, everything ready to go to France.
Yes.
But I suppose they realised it was stupid.
Had to wait, get out, and then wait to regroup and go in later.
As well, they'd have put us in the bag, I suppose, or whatever.
Yes.
So we didn't go, and then we went to Bisley, under canvas. That was in 1941, I think.
40, 41,
yes. And then one day we had to get kitted up, and off we went. We went to caught the train. I can't remember the name of the place, any little station. And we went right up to Liverpool and never touched London. How they did that, I don't know.
Really? By train? Yeah.
Went aboard ship. Next thing we knew, we were in Iceland.
In Iceland?
I went up on the Glasgow, HMS Glasgow.
Oh, yes, the cruiser.
It was the Glasgow and the... what's the other one? Berwick.
Berwick, oh, yes.
HMS Berwick. And because the Germans were going to take over Iceland, that's what they were trying to do.
Yes, we were there to stop them, weren't we?
U-boat bases there. And we caught about 400 Germans altogether.
I hadn't realised they'd landed there.
Well, I think they were technicians.
Oh, were they?
They weren't troops, they weren't army or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think they were just technicians. They wanted a U-boat base there, you see.
Yeah.
And what they thought they would do, well, we thought they would do, they would invade by parachute, because they couldn't have landed by plane, because the only place they could land was it was all lava beds.
Yes, yeah.
You know, they couldn't have landed your planes there. And they thought they'd landed by parachute, but they never did. I don't know. They realised, I suppose, it was... just not on, you know.
But by that time, they presumably heard that the British Army was there, and...
And we couldn't allow them to take over Iceland. It would have been fatal.
Yes.
You know, they'd been right across their convoy routes and
absolutely.
Everything.
Absolutely. Wasn't Admiral Watson, who lived in Court House...
Yeah.
Wasn't he the Admiral in charge in Iceland?
I don't think so. No. I'll be quite honest, I don't really know who's in charge of it. Anyway, they never told us.
He was sent up there as a rear admiral, too.
That's right.
But
it's sort of a rush job, you know.
Yes. That couldn't have been very exciting for you, could it, being in Iceland?
No.
Were you under canvas again?
No. I was in the Hotel Borg.
Oh.
I was looking after the brigadier. In charge of the whole operation. The first night I can remember sleeping on a morgue slab.
Oh, really? Must have been slightly cold.
Yeah.
This is the Royal Marine Brigadier, was it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I can't think of his name now. Long ago.
I know. So we're now into about 1942.
Yeah. And... I know all I lived on there was tomatoes and ship's biscuits.
Really? Are those thick biscuits?
They were thick, hard biscuits.
Yeah, with sort of holes, perforated with holes.
Right. Yeah.
And the story goes that they normally had maggots in, is that right?
No. Oh, that's what they used to say.
Well, in Nelson's day they did.
And then we came back from there. on a big ship. She was sunk at D-Day.
What, a warship?
No, not D-Day, on the evacuation of France.
Oh, yes. Dunkirk.
I can't remember the name of that now.
Yeah.
And where did we go from there? Yes. I went back into Brisbane down for a little while, I think.
Did you have quite a bit of fun, you know, whilst all this was going on? Did you make some good friends?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Lifelong friends.
Well, because the funny thing about it was my battalion was a Yorkshire battalion.
Oh, yes.
And I was a southerner slung in amongst a lot of Yorkshire.
Really? All speaking a funny language.
But after a while, they're good lads, you know.
Oh, yes.
I really got to like them.
Yes.
And we did a lot of training up in Scotland. I worked on a farm up in Scotland for a while because they harvest, you know, and they wanted help. And I went on the farm at Coldstream.
Coldstream, oh yes.
It was lovely people. A young chap was running the farm. It was his mother, I think his father had died, obviously, I suppose. And I was there for about 4 weeks, I think.
Really?
And in those days, you used to take your rations with you, you know, it would be...
Yes.
Cheese sandwiches or...
Sort of packed lunch.
Sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, corned beef.
and he used to take them from us and chuck them into his pigs.
Oh, really? And the pigs didn't mind them?
No, they ate them. And we used to go and have a meal with them. And
really?
They were lovely people, yeah. They were, and they wanted me to go back after the war.
That was on the borders, wasn't it, of Scotland?
Yeah.
Where the Coldstream Guards
Coldstream
started. Yeah.
But they were lovely people. I really enjoyed it. It was... Because he said to me, he said, hey, lucky I was to get you.
Yeah.
Because I think I was the only one that was a farm worker amongst them, you know, the rest of the...
They're quite.
Two of them were Cockneys.
Really?
Mm.
Well, you're a real countryman, aren't you? I mean, that was your life,
wasn't
it?
I was,
yeah,
yeah. And have been always.
Have been always.
I could live anywhere, you know. I could, during the war, you did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, normally, the country was my life.
Yeah.
Farming was my life. I did it when I was a child. I was driving horses when I was 12.
Really? Yeah.
On a mower.
On a mower, really?
Yeah, one drop dead.
A horse did?
Yeah, one horse had dropped dead.
Oh, that's rather sad, isn't it?
You should have got in with a shepherd. You did things when you were a child.
Yes, and quite a responsibility, managing horses and machinery.
Well, yes, it was.
At that age.
But I loved horses. I loved this little double-head ear.
Yes.
Yeah, I watch him a lot. No, I love horses. I was brought up with them.
Well, you didn't have any horses in the Royal Marines, though, did you?
No. Only on the farms.
On the farms.
No.
So we must be in about 1943 now or something?
When I went to the Marines, it was 40. I think I went into barracks on the 4th of March, 1940, I think.
1940. So now, after your Scottish time, it was about 1942 or 3, was it?
Well, I don't know. We went out to Africa then. First off, we were going to Ireland, Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, I mean, rather.
Yes.
We loaded up two ships. We had two ships, they were Dutch cross-channel ferries.
Oh, yes.
The Koningin and the Princess Beatrix.
Oh, yes.
And we had one of them. Well, they were with us all the time, practically.
Right.
And we loaded up to all the equipment and that, at Pembroke Docks.
Yes.
Ready to go into Ireland. And I don't know what happened after. They must have come to some relation, some devalier, you know.
Yeah.
Because they were letting the German U-boats go in there too.
Yes. Fuel. Yeah.
And we couldn't have that. It was a bit...
But I think de Valera was accommodating the Germans all through the war, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But anyway, so you didn't get to Ireland, you then went to the Mediterranean?
No, we didn't go. We came back and went under camps again then for a while. And then all of a sudden we'll get shipped out to Africa.
To North Africa. Mm. That was after the British and American invasion, was it, of North Africa?
Right, yeah.
What were you doing? Were you driving or crewing for landing craft? Or?
Oh, yeah. There was no land craft then.
No.
I first done my landing craft training at Dartmouth Naval College.
Oh, yes.
I was in there for quite some time.
Really?
So I done my landing craft training. I trained on LCAs, the assault landing craft.
Is that just with troops?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did all the training on LCAs. And then we left there and went down to Hayling Island.
Yes.
And we had the bigger boats, the LCMs.
LCMs, do they carry tanks?
No.
LCMs, no.
The decks weren't strong enough.
So it was all personnel, it was infantry?
With big lorries and things like that, you know.
Oh, I see, lorries, yes. Mm.
And our boat, really, I mean, D-Day, we're on just supply.
Really. Yeah. What were you doing on D-Day itself, 6th of June?
I went in at 7:30 in the morning.
Yes.
I shouldn't have been there. It was all a mix-up again. The coxswain, one of the coxswains of another land craft was taken ill, so he had to take on that one. So I was relief coxswain, so I had to take over our boat.
Oh, really? As the coxswain?
Mm.
So you're literally steering it towards the beaches?
I went on Sword Beach.
Sword, yes.
And it was...
that was at Arromanches, wasn't it?
No, it was further up. It was...
It was a few kilometres to the east. Yes.
We don't know what happened anyway. I mean, it was all a big mix-up. I had to go in on Red Beach.
Yes.
What they call Red Beach, but I couldn't get in because there was so much smashed up stuff. So I went round onto White Beach and got into trouble.
What, for going to the wrong beach?
Well, I didn't.
Oh.
I had to go there. I couldn't get in the other one.
Yeah.
And we had three jeeps aboard and a lot of ammunition.
Yes.
So what I did before I got in, we got loaded the ammunition what we could into the jeeps, and they didn't like that. But I said, we're not going to let you off and us stand and put the ammunition ashore, because we should have all been killed, obviously.
Yes, yes.
And we got them off, and I went back out and just went on ordinary after that. I was just taking supplies into the beaches.
Ferrying to and fro, what, back from England?
Mm.
So you're ferrying across channel?
No. They off the ships were bringing it out.
Right.
And we had to unload onto from them. And then what they did, they got what they called a rhino. It was a huge, great platform with tanks. It was all welded together.
Yes, yeah.
And a big 8-board engine on it.
Yeah.
And somebody had the idea that they were going to load these up and take them into the beach. But what they didn't realise, the tank underneath was not going to let them get there.
But the tanks that had sunk, you mean?
Yeah.
They're obstructing.
They're sort of empty tanks, welded together.
Yes.
It was quite a big
contraption. Oh, I see, the water tanks.
Mm.
Yes, sorry, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Flotation tanks.
Yes, And there's no way we couldn't get into the beach on that.
No.
They must have realised it was really stupid.
Well, they weren't strong enough or buoyant enough to support the weight.
Well, they were hitting the beach long before they got there, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see what you mean, yes. So they would have fallen short of the beach.
That's right. I'm not being very clear, am I?
No, you're clear enough.
It's a bit odd thing.
As a Navy man, I can just keep up.
It was a long time ago.
But when you first went in at 7:30... When did the first wave go in? A bit earlier,
was
it?
Oh, they were in about 6 o'clock, I think.
About 6. So there's
on different beaches, you see.
There's a lot of activity going on, a lot of fighting going on, presumably quite close inshore.
Right.
Were you being fired at all? Or?
I wasn't. We weren't. I suppose we were in danger. The first time we went in, it was pretty dodgy. Otherwise, apart from that, no. We usually, that was all gone.
Yes, they'd moved inland, the fighting, the infantry.
The thing was, on Sword Beach, I don't know what happened. We were there about 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, they started shelling us.
Oh.
And we were shelled every day and all day, practically.
Really? Well, as you
German
came in?
The guns they couldn't find, they put spotter planes up, and of course the guns stopped.
Yes.
And then when spotter plane came down, the guns started again.
They must have been very well dug in, those guns, camouflaged.
Well, either that or else, I can only think they could have been a railway tunnel or something.
Yes, yes.
They tried all sorts of things. Oh, then they come up with the idea, we put smoke screens in. Well, we hated that. I was sooner rather shell. We said we'd sooner rather shells because you couldn't breathe.
Really?
That like a...
What, smoke between the guns and you?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which drifted all over you.
The beaches, you couldn't see to get into the beach.
Yes.
You know, and it got into your throat.
Yeah, terrible.
And we created and said, no, we're not having this, you know. So they stopped it then. We put up with the shells, we had to.
Were the shells hitting targets? Were they doing damage to...
No.
Landing craft?
It was indiscriminate shelling most of the time.
Yeah.
But somehow or other we knew... They had the idea, there was a ship came in, she was only about 2,000 tonnes, I think.
Yeah.
And she was loaded up with bombs, everything. So they thought they'd drive her up onto the beach as far as they could get.
Yeah.
And as soon as the tide went out, the lorries should come along. So I don't know who thought this up, I don't know.
Yeah.
And of course it didn't work because the German guns, they found them. I don't know how they found her because they couldn't see her.
And they hit her, did they?
The gun, oh yeah, they blew the damn thing out. They sent us to dig trenches around it.
Yeah.
So they could float her off when the tide came in quickly.
Yeah.
You try digging a trench in the sand.
Yes.
I said to the sergeant, I said, he said, you don't want to live forever, do you? I said, no, as long as I can. So they had to give it up. They left it. Yeah. They blew her all to pieces in the end.
Of course it was.
So we thought the idea that they couldn't see her, they couldn't do where the guns were. There was no way they could see that ship. So somebody was helping them.
Somebody was spotting, was it?
Well, we were convinced somebody was helping them.
Really? Mm. Terrible.
Because there was people, civilians coming down onto the beach.
Oh, I see.
And what the heck they were doing, looking, you know.
Yeah.
And another thing that was crazy about the whole idea, they put barrage balloons on these ships.
Yeah.
Well, the guns are ranging on that.
Yeah, I see what you mean. They could see it high up, balloons high up in the sky.
Right. I suppose they thought, well, this is a silly idea, and they stopped it.
But it was all a desperate time, wasn't it? And there must have been a lot of confusion, a lot of other craft going in all different directions. Yeah. Were there lots of obstructions of tanks that had sunk before they got to the beach?
Yes, well, what happened, I think, a lot of...
Because the weather was very bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that storm that came up, that smashed my landing craft, flung it up onto the beach like a toy.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
The tanks, apparently, I didn't see this, mind.
No.
But they were coming off the boats and going down into the water, and they weren't waterproof properly.
Yeah.
So and they were sinking, the crews couldn't get out.
Yeah, so a lot of people were drowned.
Drowned, yeah.
When you set sail from England for the first assault on the beach, there's a time when it was all postponed, wasn't it, by 24 hours because of the weather. Did you have to turn back at some point before going in?
No. We just stayed there. I don't know how heck I was. I wasn't on the landing craft.
So you went in D-Day plus one or something when the weather was better.
Yeah, it was,
It was bad enough then, wasn't it?
It was one day later.
And
the storm was really, really bad. That was. And then the one that they had while I was there, actually there, that was worse, I think.
Was it?
Yes, it was a very bad storm.
What was it like steering those things? They must have been very difficult to control.
Yeah, because of flat bottom, you see, you couldn't broach too. Otherwise, you'd get flipped over.
Yeah. Did you have two propellers?
Yeah, two props.
Two rudders.
And I had engine room telegraph and everything.
Right.
On those.
Did you have a sort of conventional wheel?
Yeah. It was a bit awkward because you stood in the sort of the canopy at the back.
Yeah.
And you had engine room telegraph and everything. But with the big ramp,
you couldn't see much.
To see, so you could stand upon a bench, and there was a hole in the top you'd look out of.
Yeah.
Which wasn't exactly a very clever thing to do.
Wasn't the safest way to.
Several blokes got killed like that.
Yeah. And how many troops would you have had? Or was it mostly equipment? How many troops did you land?
We didn't land troops.
It was vehicles and supplies.
Small vehicles and ammunition, oil. One low we went in one night when they were shelling us for 8 in the evening. And we were loading up oxyacetylene bottles.
Oh, yes.
Because I wasn't coxswain that time. I can remember saying, if we get hit, we should be the first ones in orbit.
Yeah, so you were told to go somewhere else, were you? You went off somewhere else.
Yeah.
Did you have a good crew with you? So three
what
or four?
We did. We had a parent ship.
Yes.
It was a Kep something, but I can't remember. It was an old French boat, that's all I know.
Yeah.
And you do. See, you couldn't sleep on the landing car.
No.
Well, you did, but you no bunks or anything like that.
No.
And eating, they decided in their wisdom that they'd supply each of the land craft with a primus stove. Now, I don't know whether you've had anything to do with those or not, but I have.
Well, I have in my boyhood camping days. Yeah.
So there was no methylated spurs, no prickers, no nothing.
Oh.
And most of the chaps had never seen a primus stove in their life. I was about the only one that had.
Yeah.
You know.
Dear, dear.
So what we used to do, we used to get some petrol and tip over the thing and check the match.
That sounds rather dangerous.
And of course, that didn't work because it burnt the damn thing then. So then we got some old biscuit tins, those square biscuit tins, about that deep, filled up with sand and old bits of rope.
Yes.
Chucked some petrol on, and that's how we did our cooking.
Really?
Mm.
Which brilliant.
Is extremely dangerous because we were loading up with petrol anyway.
Still, it's all about initiative, isn't it? And finding our own way to survive.
We got no food. We actually did not get food, the landing craft crews.
Until you got back to the mothership when they.
No, what we used to do was to load up the ration boxes.
Yeah.
And chuck them down into the engine room and sit down there and.
Yes.
You know, sort of make between us.
Yes. How long did this operation go on for? I mean, when did you get back to England? So middle of June or something?
Must have been about 2 months, I suppose. No more than
3 months,
I suppose.
2 months, you were off the French coast, supporting our.
It was in what they did, we eventually left Swordbeach.
Yes.
Because we couldn't stay any longer, we were, you know, too dangerous. And we went to Gold Beach, which is the next one up.
Yes.
And then we went up to Juneau, which was the next one up.
Was that the Canadians?
Yeah, the Canadians were on Juneau Beach. Of course, they'd all gone.
Yes.
But what they did, they built a proper, you know, thing out into the sea.
Yes.
So the ships would come alongside and unload. But that storm blew it all to pieces.
Oh, that was the concrete sort of floating.
That's right, yeah. That's it, yeah.
Caissons, yes. Mm.
But the storm wrecked it.
You can still see the remains of it.
Probably.
The Daramanche.
Yeah, yeah.
I went there about 2 years ago.
Did you?
And did a sort of a battlefield tour of the beaches.
Mm.
And there's a wonderful museum there which explains it all.
Yeah.
So I can visualise you in what you were doing, you know, quite easily having been there.
Yeah. It wasn't dangerous, that dangerous for me, not after the first days, you know, a couple of days. Well, it was at Sword Beach because of the shells.
Yeah.
I can remember the first night I went ashore at night.
Yeah.
And of course, we had no loos, you only had to play, you know. And I was sat there and I could hear this noise. And I realised it was shells coming over. You know,
right, yes.
And I thought, well, they always told me that you never hear the one that kills you. So
I
come past.
I know what you mean.
It was dangerous, yes, I suppose it was. But you didn't think of these things much.
No. But it was such an important enterprise, wasn't it? It was fighting for the freedom of...
I think there was very few countries who could have done what we'd done.
I think you're right.
What they did. They got D-Day, like they did, you know. All these ships come from different ways around.
Oh, the planning was incredible. Logistics,
it was. Absolutely,
everything.
Absolutely, yeah, it was. I don't think any other country could have done it.
Well, I say the same thing about the Falklands campaign.
Yeah.
No other nation could have done that.
No.
With the logistics, supply, 8,000 miles to supply us on the front line.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And that was the D-Day experience.
That's right.
And our country's experience of doing that.
I mean, I when we went across, the whole thing was so amazing. You stood there and marvelled.
Yes.
And although we didn't get bombed or anything like that much, because they had an aircraft over the top, and we had destroyers, frigates, everything with us, and battleships.
Yes.
One German prisoner said to me, he said, when we went on watch that morning, he said, we knew we'd lost the war.
When they saw the armada of ships.
Yeah, he said, because the whole horizon, we couldn't see anything but ships.
Yes. At what point did you have German prisoners? Were you ferrying them back somewhere?
I did. Yeah, they loaded up with me German prisoners. I think it was about 16 I had on there.
Yes.
I had to take them around the anchorage and get rid of them. But nobody'd take them.
Yeah.
And when night came, I had to put a sentry on, of course.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I went to a destroyer.
Yes.
And went alongside and met the skipper. And he said, well, the best thing to do, he said, take them out as far as you can go, drop your rank and march the bastards off.
Really?
And I said, well, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I said, they're prisoners of war. They didn't give us any trouble. In fact, one of them I got to know, like, he was a nice chap.
Yeah, they probably were.
I mean, he may not have been, I don't know, but I thought he was. He could speak good English.
Because there were lots of ships going back to England, weren't there? Destroyers. And
yeah,
what
I did in the end, I got so fed up with it, I should have been doing other things. I went into the beach, dropped the ramp, marched them off and left them.
But they were unarmed anyway.
Well, they picked them up again in the end, I suppose.
Yes.
What else could I do?
What else could you do? An amazing experience. And how did the war finish for you after that?
Well, pretty good, actually.
You didn't go anywhere else on other operations?
Well, what we expected after we finished there, because we were all commandos,
yes,
to go off and join up with the other lot of commandos.
Yeah.
And we got expected to go up the line, you know. But we didn't. We came back to England. And we came into Southampton on this boat, you know.
Yes.
And when we got there, the blasted customs people were waiting at the bottom of the gangway.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, they did.
Because they had lots of bottles of wine.
We had got a little bit of loot, you know, not much, you know, a few things. And some of the lads, they sort of got a bit frightened. They flung their kit bags over into the dock.
Flung what?
They flung their kit bags over into the
really?
Dock.
Really? Yeah.
And the flotilla commander, he went down and had a few words with them, and they went away.
Yeah.
Because I think if they hadn't, they'd have finished up in the dock.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We were furious.
Yeah, especially when you've been in the front line rescuing this country.
Yeah,
and they were doing their peacetime sort of role.
I thought it was awful.
Awful.
And, I mean, I didn't know anything, you know, much at all.
Yeah.
But, of course, we used to go to these, load up with these ration boxes, they were square cardboard boxes.
Yes.
And I think they went from A to K in the lettering, you know.
Oh, yes.
So we got to know which ones had the best in.
Oh, really?
So we took out what we wanted. We checked some down the engine room when we were loading up. Then at night we sorted them out. And we never sent what we didn't eat up the line. We checked over the side.
Right.
You know, because it wouldn't be fair on the chaps.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And that's how we lived.
Yes, extraordinary.
Nobody seemed to bother about us at all.
No. Right. Well, in a way, the freedom was probably quite a good thing in a way, wasn't it? You know, you knew what you had to do. You used your common sense.
Sure, yeah.
And loyalty to the regiment anyway. You wanted to do something useful all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So you...
I mean, I loved it, really.
Yes.
It was dangerous, but not that dangerous. Not for us. Not did, really.
But you met some wonderful people.
Oh, I did, yeah, I did. I desperately loved to have stayed in, but... I don't think it would have worked because I would have been in commandos.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have got to sea.
No.
No, I wouldn't have known.
Would have been landing ashore.
If they could have guaranteed me going back to sea, then I would have... Somebody else would have looked after my mother.
Yeah.
But,
so you came home, and did you leave the Royal Marines almost straight away?
Well, yes, I was demobbed.
Demobbed.
Yeah.
As you say, you had to look
I've
after
got
you.
My colonel papers... discharge papers here. I'm not interested in you at all. I don't really are. Oh, here they are, yeah. In fact, I've forgotten all about these because I was on supplemental reserve, and as far as I know, I still am. Because
you're a Royal Marine Reserve, are you?
I've not been discharged. So.
And these are the demob papers, and your record of service.
Yeah.
As I remember these, we had these in the Navy.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. George James Higgins. Character very good. And there's no black marks here of...
No.
Disciplinary problems. Oh, that's very good. And they're sort of got... Made of material, aren't they?
Yeah.
They'll last forever.
Yeah. There were times when I should have had some black marks, but I think.
Yeah. That's wonderful. And so you were much needed at home, I'm sure, to look after your mother and the...
Well, yes. I had to do something. Nobody else. All the others were married and you know, it was... Oh, blast it.
And they had families themselves to look after.
Well, that's right.
And being the youngest, you were...
Yeah, but it still wasn't fair on me in a way.
No.
Because I had seen some pretty horrible things.
Yeah.
I lost... We were over the Isle of Wight. And I was on carriers, mortars. I was in charge of mortars.
Yes.
I was... we had strange mortars, you know. And I was detachment commander on those, and I was pretty good at it because you would be surprised, and I'll tell you this, how many chaps, we were on coastal defence,
yes,
down in Devon, and we'd taken a bungalow, kick the people out and taken this bungalow for a headquarters.
Yeah.
And we had to go up the cliff path, up onto the top,
yes,
and patrol. Well, I couldn't believe it. We had this little bungalow, and to get to the top of the cliff, you had to go up. It was all overgrown.
Yes.
And they could not see the way.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. They couldn't see anything.
Because of the long grass and all the rest of it.
Hmm.
Hello, Molly. Shall we go on talking?
Yeah, so you want to say much?
We'll go on talking.
Yeah, they couldn't see these chaps. They were townies.
Oh, really? Because of the long grass and everything.
Yeah, they just when we're in Scotland, we was in on the mortar platoon then, and we're in a hut on our own at the end of the field, and the nappy was down the bottom of the field.
Yes.
Now this at night, they say. come on, Iggy, take us down. They couldn't go down on their own.
They get lost.
I was amazed.
Yeah, townies,
as
you say.
They could not see at night. Yeah. So they used to buy me a cup of tea, take them down. Really? And I'd have about five or six blokes behind me going down this field.
Really?
Oh,
was this right at the end of the war?
No, no.
Oh. Who was it?
I've been seeing some of the chaps on the landing craft. They weren't much good, you know.
No.
Night. But apart from that, I mean, it. No, like I said, it was, the whole idea was absolutely fantastic.
It was fantastic, wasn't it?
I really wouldn't have missed it.
No. It's amazing what this country could achieve when it's threatened, isn't it? Mm. And the belief in freedom of other nations and all
well,
that.
Well, I don't think any other nation could have done it.
I know.
I don't think the French could have done it.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
And so what work did you pursue when you came home? Did you go back on the land, working
yeah,
on a farm?
Yeah, for a while, yeah. Well,
and then you met Molly?
Yeah. We got married, and we went up to. We left here and went to Gloucestershire.
Did you?
Am I interrupting?
No.
I promise not to speak.
No, we're almost finishing.
Oh.
Yes, and we went to Gloucester with Molly.
Oh, did you?
It was a big estate.
Did you meet Molly here in Hampshire?
Yeah. She was at school with me.
Oh, there you are. Amazing. So how long have you been married for?
About 65 years.
65 years. And you've got a daughter, haven't you, who lives in Denmead?
Yeah. Yeah, she was here yesterday.
Have you got other children?
No.
So,
we've got two grandchildren.
I've got a son, well, my first man.
Oh, you've got a son, and you see him?
Not very often.
Not very often. But it's lovely having your daughter, isn't it, in Denmead? She can.
Yeah, I don't know what we'd do later now, because we're both pretty much.
I mean, you can't get to the village shop.
I can't at the moment. That doesn't worry me, Chris. You know.
Chris, he delivers,
yeah,
does he?
He looks after us.
That's wonderful. He delivers. Chris is wonderful, isn't he? He looks after a lot of people.
I don't know what we would do without him, actually. You'll pay him.
Yes. But he shops for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you do any. Alison, actually, my daughter, she does my shopping.
Yes, I see.
And I ring her up. I did this morning and tell her what we want. And she'll bring it over on Saturday.
Yes.
Because my son-in-law will bring her over. I'm not worried, I mean, I'm okay, but I can't think how much longer I can go on like this.
No.
I don't know. But I want to be independent, I always was.
Yes.
Never rely on other people. And
well,
Marines don't rely on other people.
No, they don't, no. Anyway, it's been a real pleasure to talk to George.
Good.
And I've always been a great admirer of Royal Marines. And I've always heard of you both, actually, you know. I mean, everyone knows you in the village. I mean, knows of you. Because you must have. How long have you lived here for? In the gardens?
I was 74 when I came here. And I'm 96 so I worked that out.
25 years at least.
Did you want to see this?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it was so quiet, I didn't think anything.
No, don't worry at all. And I'm sorry, we kept on talking. We've been talking for an hour, haven't we?
It's that medal from the French.
Oh, yes, the Légion d'honneur, however you pronounce it. And have you got your medals yet, your British 39-45?
I've got to wait 3 months.
3 months? I'm surprised they didn't issue them there and then. It's pretty smart, isn't it?
Very.
You ought to be wearing that every day and on your pyjamas at night.
It's not a medal to wear every day, is it?
No. It's very nice, isn't it?
And that's a letter I had from.
And this is the letter to go with your.
Yeah.
French. Légion d'honneur. I don't know how you pronounce it. I hope that's right. This is from the President of the Republic. Has appointed you to the rank of Chevalier in the Ordre National de la Légion d'Honneur. Offer you my warmest congratulations on this high honour in recognition of your acknowledged military engagement and your steadfast involvement in the liberation of France during the Second World War. Well, that's a wonderful letter, isn't it?
I think I treasure that more than the medal, I think, really.
Well, it's wonderful to be recognised in that way from the French, from the highest.
But why didn't their own government recognise us in that way then?
Our own government? I know, it's a funny thing, isn't it?
Not just me, I'm not talking about me, but
no, I know.
A lot of people.
But there's a terrific sense, in your time and in my time, a terrific sense of duty and service, isn't there? And loyalty to your regiment, which counts for so much. And in a way, we're not fighting for the politicians, we're fighting for our fellow soldiers, Marines, sailors. So I don't think I've ever been offended by our government taking just a passing interest in us. But I think as one gets older, I think it matters more.
I've never bothered about that sort of thing.
You wouldn't, because you're a humble Marine. But I agree, I think the government should be more positive and recognise us.
I think the thing I was most proud of was being a Marine, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Well, there you are, loyalty to the Marine Corps.
And I wish now I would have known more. I'd have probably joined them long before I did.
Yeah.
I went into Eastern Barracks and I decided that I would sign on for 12 years, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Well, I was going down it one evening. I had to go down and see the company commander. And in the morning, we fell in on the parade ground.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I realised it wasn't my usual instructor.
Right.
And it was a chap, he was a colour sergeant.
Yes.
And he was a part of not my family, but my sister was married to his brother.
Really? How extraordinary.
And I thought then something happening.
Yes.
And he gave me hell.
Oh, did he? Oh, he shouldn't have done that.
And I met him in the drill shed in the evening. He said, "That'll stop you from signing on for 12. And I called him all the rotten names I could think of.
Yes.
He did that for the purpose.
Did he?
He just tied me up in knots on the programme.
But was he being vindictive and nasty, or was it in the interest of...
No,
moulding you into
I
a good Royal Marine.
I think family got on to him, because they knew I was going to sign on for 12. And
oh, I see. Oh, I see.
No, it wasn't that. He was not a chap, actually.
Oh, I see. We didn't like to think of you being sort of arm-twisted into the Royal Marines.
No, he was a nice chap, Bill. But he determined to stop me.
Yes.
And I think that nobody ever said anything, mind.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure... The rest of the family had
really
gone to him.
So they wanted to preserve your life, as it were, not
probably
get you involved.
Probably it. But then I.
But you were determined, as you say, to join.
Yeah, if I had signed on to the 12 then, well, that would have been it, wouldn't it? I'd have been in for 12 years.
Yes, it's me, yes.
But then again, I'd probably. Because I'm first instructor in Eastern Barracks. He was a funny little man, but a heck of a nice chap.
Yeah.
And he went to Norway.
Did he?
Detachment Marines to Norway, and they all got killed.
Yeah, that was terrible, the Norwegian campaign. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I would have been one of those, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just going to...
I did love my time in the Marines.
Yes. Well, I've never met a Royal Marine who hasn't.
No.
It's wonderful esprit de corps and the quality of people in there.
There's something in the boot necks that the others haven't got.
Yeah, I agree. And we sailors, you know, we prefer being at sea in a ship so we can have a hot bath and a good dinner. But we admire the Royal Marines who can stomp ashore and rough it.
I'd like to have been at sea, really, but yes. I suppose then again I might have dipped out, I don't know.
Yeah.
That first trip to Iceland on the cruiser, on the Glasgow, was dreadful.
Yes.
I'd been across the Isle of Wight a few times, but I'd never been to sea like that. It was absolutely awful.
Really?
It
was, what, rough weather, yeah.
And I was as sick as ever I can possibly be.
Yes.
And so were a lot more.
I bet.
But never again.
Never again. And once you get used to it, one's never seasick again.
No.
George, I'm going to switch this off now.
Yeah.
But just to thank you, it's been a real pleasure for me to talk to you.
What one mean, sailor. Anytime you ever want to, just say.
One sailor to a Royal Marine. Mm. It's been a pleasure and lovely to meet Molly too.
I never had it all the time as you had, I know that.
So I'm going to sign off now all with right. Many thanks to you both. That's if I can turn it off.
I could have done that much better a few years ago. That is a recorded thing. That.